Today we give thanks to God for the 50th wedding anniversary of Geraldine and Alan. And as I've been reflecting on what 50 years of marriage might feel and look like, I thought it's appropriate that it's called a golden wedding anniversary because people who endure that long deserve a gold medal. In my household, my wife often says to me that she deserves a halo, and I agree. But Geraldine and Alan, you have been an example of faithfulness to God, to each other, to your family and others. And over the last few years that I've had the privilege of serving here, I know of your faithfulness to the church and to the community as well. You've both had fulfilling careers and raised your family. And yet you continue to share God's love in everything that you're doing. I'm sure that when people ask you the secret to your long marriage, you will have some good ideas to share. And don't be too surprised if I tap into your resources. So I won't put you on the spot today to ask you what has been your secret for a marriage that has lasted a half a century. The other day, I called to wish happy anniversary to a family member who has also been married for quite a while. And during our conversation, she made a few remarks. By the way, it's my uncle and my aunt-in-law, but my uncle didn't respond. But my aunt-in-law said to me something like this, and this resonated with me. She said, "I did not expect to be here still." And then she added, "with my husband." Now, I'm not sure if the "with my husband" piece is part of the statement or whether that was an addition. And then she went on to say, "but the years have been very memorable and quite precious." Very memorable and quite precious. And that really resonated with me. Every time we enter this sanctuary, we're reminded of a marriage scene. And if you'd look to your right, on the wall, to my left on the wall, you'll see a banner, courtesy of the Sisters of St. John the Divine, Sister Connie's order. Thank you, Sister Connie. It was intended to be a loan, but I think it's more like a 99-year lease from the convent. Isn't that, Sister Connie? And so we are really appreciative of this banner. But if you look at the banner carefully, that's a depiction of the scene from the gospel reading for today. The marriage at Cana. What are some of the things that you see on the banner? What are some of the things that you see? Look at that banner. I see people having fun. I see signs of joy, of merriment, celebration. I see platters of food. Do you see those platters of food coming in? I see that huge cask of wine being poured. And I see someone raising a toast. What I also noticed is that there were people of all ages, and that's a sign to us in the church, isn't there? Isn't it? There's someone wrapped in a blanket, a baby wrapped in a blanket. Do you see that? And then Jesus and his mother all mingling in the crowd. Now, these are some of the visible signs of a wedding feast, aren't they? A wedding feast. And it is here that Jesus performed his first miracle, turning water into wine. Turning water into wine. A story is told of a young couple about to get married. They wanted to have some wine at the wedding, but they were just starting out in life, so they could not afford to buy wine. However, someone came up with the bright idea of inviting the priest to the wedding reception. When the time came for the toast, apparently the best man brought a few bottles of water to the priest. And he held up these bottles of water before the priest and said, "Father, the rest is up to you." It turned out that day that the priest was not in the miracle-making business, and so for the first time for a long time, everyone from the wedding ceremony went home sober. Now, the religious ceremony also has some visible signs like the ring, the marriage vows, the blessing of the couple, and the marriage register. And for many Christians, marriage is considered to be sacramental, and that is part of our Anglican belief, that holy matrimony is sacramental. And we would recall, in general terms, what's a sacrament? And there's many definitions of what is a sacrament, but I wanted to share one with you today. A sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. And I see some heads nodding, means that we learned that in Sunday school. An outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. In summary, it's a ritual that's symbolic of a change that is taking place within. It's not obvious or visible, but there's some transformation taking place within. And some of the other sacraments of the church, I'll just go through them very quickly, include holy baptism, holy Eucharist, confirmation, reconciliation, anointing of the sick, holy orders. And these are sacraments of the church where we believe, Christians believe, of some traditions believe that there's an inner transformation. But today the focus is on holy matrimony. Now the gospel reading certainly gives us some ideas about marriage, doesn't it? Because at Cana, Jesus performed a miracle by turning water into wine. And in holy matrimony, through God's transforming power, two people become one. Not physically, but one in so many other ways. One spiritually, and one in so many other ways. And it's interesting that sometimes in conversation with people who've had a long relationship, whether it's a marriage relationship or another relationship, quite often, what do? Quite often, they even finish each other's sentences. Have you ever noticed that? Quite often, we agree on certain things so we can finish each other's sentences. And there's a certain cohesion suggesting a unity of purpose. But similarly, God's transforming power in each of us, unworthy as we are, allows us to be God's hands and God's feet to do His will. And God's power enables each and every one of us to be part of His body, the church, to carry out His mission in the world around us. So Geraldine and Alan, may God's transforming love keep you together until death separates you, as you promised 50 years ago. But there are other readings that I wanted to mention along the way. The reading from Philemon, which was read so well to us by Hazel, talks about forgiveness. Forgiveness is the overall theme of the letter of Paul to Philemon. And I really like that book. And one of the reasons I like it, it's that it's really succinct, very precise. It's just one chapter. So you can go through it and go back through it and really absorb it. And the context of this letter is that Paul was in prison when he received help from a runaway slave called Onesimus. The slave's master, Philemon, was a Christian friend of Paul. And it is believed that Philemon was a wealthy member of the Colossian church. And here was Paul encouraging Onesimus to return to his master and urging Philemon at the same time to receive Onesimus back not as a slave, but as a Christian brother. We can hear from what was read today that Paul's plea for forgiveness is quite genuine and quite evident. And I'm sure that you'll agree with me that forgiveness is necessary in lasting relationships. Because despite our best efforts, there may be times when we make mistakes which hurt others. And seeking forgiveness is one important step in mending those relationships. Forgiveness, the theme of the first reading from Philemon. And then we look at the book of at the reading from Corinthians, ably read for us. And this letter to the Corinthians, this part of the letter to the Corinthians, defines real love. And many scholars and theologians place this passage of scripture among the best description of the greatest gift from God, the gift of love. Listen to some of the ideas that Paul expressed in the letter to the Corinthians. All love comes from God. Isn't it? God is the source of all love. But God's love is directed towards others, directed outwardly. So when we share God's love, we follow that example, and we in turn should love without expecting anything in return. Because love involves unselfish service to others. And we act because we care. We show love because we care. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. And love is not proud. So Geraldine and Alan, we're not going to let you off the hook so quickly. What contributes to loving and lasting relationships, including marriages? And maybe a few people will ask you that at the reception. Today, however, as we give thanks to God for the marriage of Geraldine and Alan, allow me to share three quick thoughts within the context of a loving relationship, which will serve as reminders for developing and maintaining healthy relationships. And these are all from the scripture readings for today. First of all, let's have some fun. Let's have some fun. We're going to be together anyway, so why not enjoy it? John's description of the marriage feast, commonly called the wedding reception, seems like a lot of fun. And we must recall here that Jesus lived a fairly short life. We'd say, by today's standards anyway, and probably by those standards back then, 33 years. His earthly mission was 33 years, so he had lots to do. And yet he took time out to attend a wedding and to take part in the festivities. And I don't say this lightly or glibly, that we must also take time to be with people. We too must take the time to be with the people we care for and to do some things that we enjoy together. And I want to challenge people in the room today who are in some sort of relationship with children, with parents, with siblings, with spouses, with partners. And I also challenge myself on this. When last have you taken some time out and gone on a date together? When last have you gone on a date? Set aside some time to have dedicated time with those we love. Have fun. Have fun. Secondly, let us forgive each other. And that's the theme from Philemon. Philemon was asked to forgive Onesimus. And I would imagine that we've all asked forgiveness over some error we have made. And the request for forgiveness is part of a prayer that is commonly said by Christians, the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? And we're going to be saying that later on. It says something like this, "And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So let's have fun. Let us forgive as we are forgiven. And in marriage, as in other relationships, forgiveness often brings healing as we put our relationships back together. Have fun, forgive. And thirdly, knowing that God loves us and making a commitment to love each other. Let us have faith in God and each other. Have fun, forgive, have faith. The miracles of Jesus are called signs by John. And for John, the miracles also served a deeper purpose to strengthen the faith, the belief, the trust, and the confidence of Jesus' disciples. Have faith. Let us have faith. Trusting each other, placing our confidence in each other. Let us move more and more to a climate within this parish and within our lives of mutual dependence. Because we know that our partners, our friends, our Christian brothers and sisters, and all those around us could be relied on when it counts. Through God's gift of love and through the love we share with each other. And in closing, I could not resist this reference. And it's a song by the writer Bob Gilman. And he gave us these words that were put to music. And they go something like this. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together. Do you know it? With cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together. Bind us together in love. And this points to exactly what Paul explained in his letter to the Corinthians, that God's greatest gift to us is love. Geraldine and Alan, Alan and Geraldine, may God's transforming power continue to rekindle the flame of love in your marriage. May God's love revitalize your relationships and re-energize you as the nucleus of your family and as models of loving service to others. Thanks be to God.